Oh, we're so off rhythm. This is bad. You should include this.
Friends, welcome to another episode of Zippy the Wonder Snail, two Christian guys zipping through the news and culture that matter to you. I'm with my comrade Jason. Hey, Jason, how are you doing?
Good, Tim. How are you?
I'm doing zippingly well.
Wonderful.
Good to be back in the Zippy hot seat. It's been a little while, and there's been a lot going on. So we have a ton to cover for our listeners tonight, don't we?
I need to tell you that was one of your worst jokes, but yeah, I'm glad you're doing well.
That is an achievement for me, that I can have a near worst joke for me. I mean, you've heard a lot of them.
Your puns are so bad. Yes.
I resemble that remark, comrade. We actually have so much in this episode. We're going to split it into two and have a two-parter. First time ever. Episode 46 and 47, because we have a ton to talk about with the sports world. We have all kinds of stuff going on in politics. And of course, we want to spend some time in God's word. So lots to cover. Tonight, we're going to hit the election and Christian interaction with it. And then in episode two, we will be talking about sports and also hope from scripture. So we're going to look at politics tonight, and don't despair, we will come to scripture tonight as well. And then in the second episode, we have a little bit lighter start, and then all kinds of encouragement from scripture, because there's a lot going on in this world that we need encouragement with. Comrade, we need to take a break for our first sponsor today, which is Faithtoberfest from Faith Tree Christian Fellowship. Faithtoberfest is a wonderful festival of food, music, and fun. Every October. This is the sixth Faithtoberfest, and I am so excited about it. It's coming up in just 2 days. That is Friday, October 18th, and I really hope everyone takes part. Now, if you're in the St. Louis area, come in person, enjoy the good food and the festivities in person. But if you're anywhere in the world, you can join us by going to faithtoberfest.org. That's faithtoberfest.org, or check it out at faithtreecf.org.
Maybe mom and dad had it right all along. We're too old to still be alone, and we ain't happy ever after all. I'm just saying.
Sometimes in life, I would like to see someone who's a player in a game come back. For example, I'd love to see Yachty come back and be manager. I'm still hoping that there's this secret plan in place to bring Yachty back as manager. But elections are a little different. And here we are, we're in 2024. And I have to say, the 2024 election feels an awful lot like the 2020 election and the 2016 election. We just keep bringing back the same players or something like it. But here we are. We're in 2024. We have Trump and Harris. And what do you make of our situation?
Boy, this is a weird election. When we started, or when we were talking about starting, you and I, this episode, I thought that I was going to be bold enough to make a prediction. But I am not. At least I'm not going to be specific. Because this thing is all mixed up. I will say, I would rather strategically and where I think the race is, I would rather be Harris than be Trump right now. But that doesn't mean that I'm confident at all. Unless what I am possibly seeing, because what you're seeing with the national polls is that Harris doesn't have the normal polling lead that Democrats tend to have, and then the Republican comes back if he or she's going to win. So it's really, really narrow, this was a thought that I had before we came on, could indicate a polling error in favor of Harris. So I'm thinking about that. Other than that, it's going to be razor close, like the 2000 election. Please, not that close.
I do hope that. Comrade, do you follow Nate Silver?
I do. I had a grumpy phase with Nate Silver, when he was trying to get the president to leave the race, and then the president did leave the race. But I'm over it now, and he's clearly less biased than Real Clear Politics, who I think is cooking their polls. So I have been following, Nate 538 over at ABC News now.
Well, you know, he's actually not over at 538 any longer. He's on the Silver Bulletin.
He's a separate thing now. Someone else is running 538?
Yeah. I don't know all the internal machinations of ABC News, but somewhere in the process of their reorganization, Silver and ABC parted ways. So it's interesting. 538 is running on Silver's old model. But apparently Silver, when he sold 538 to ESPN, which is a sister company to ABC News, he retained rights to it. And so the Silver Bulletin is still using the same model, but it's still the pure Silver model. So there are some differences. It's interesting. I should put a link in the show notes. Silver outlines some of the philosophical differences, but 538 is making certain assumptions about how the race should go. Silver is a big proponent that you build the model before the race begins and you use historical data and you run with it so that you're not introducing as much bias in the midst of the race. So their numbers are a little different. They're not wildly different, but 538 has consistently been a little bit more in favor of Harris in their numbers than the Silver Bulletin. Silver himself says he's planning to vote for Harris. He's upfront on his own biases, but his goal is to actually provide an accurate picture. And I find it interesting. He and his team said this week they believe that we're coming as close to a true tied race as we could possibly be. You know, we've had some momentum one way or another. Clearly, the numbers have tightened over the last few weeks, and that's what I find interesting. Harris is still in the lead, but if you look at the Silver Bulletin, it's clear that things are moving a little bit towards Trump right now. And I think the campaigns are watching this, because if you look at some of the changes in the rhetoric of the Harris campaign this week, I believe it's been a shift from, while they've said they're the underdog, viewing themselves as the lead, to more of the aggressive posture of a campaign that's a little concerned with how things are shifting around.
Well, it's interesting. You know, it's very tight. I would say when I look at the states that are toss-ups right now, because pretty much everybody agrees where the toss-ups are, I would say if I was a Republican strategist, these toss-up states are in the wrong place. So because if Georgia's in play, which it is, Arizona's in play, North Carolina's in play, you're losing ground in the Southeast as a Republican that you don't want to be losing. Yes, if Trump can grab Pennsylvania and Wisconsin, or two of those, then Harris would be in big trouble. But I don't see the blue wall cracking up there. So my difference is okay, Harris doesn't need Arizona. Harris doesn't really need North Carolina. Harris doesn't need Georgia. Trump needs all of those. So I would rather be Harris, but yes, it's a close race. And they need, and what Harris needs to do strategically, assuming that something in the campaign actually matters, is continue to assure the voters that she's ready to do the job. Because I think more than ideology, that's for the undecideds and the moderates, which those are two different people. That's the kind of stuff that she needs to shore up. Is she ready to do this? Has she done anything this big before? Because Trump is a known quantity. If you love him, you love him. If you hate him, you hate him. And people have priced in. Well, I think people have priced in his age and other concerns that they have. But Harris is not a known quantity so much. She was, you know, deservedly in the shadow of President Biden until she had to step out of that shadow because the shadow was over the president. So Harris needs to shore that up if she wants to win. And by the way, this is totally nonpartisan advice on my part. I said before we went on the show that I'm not voting in this election. You're going to keep quiet, but I'm not voting in this. I'm just looking at this as a political scientist. But Harris needs to do that. And I will say again, I think Real Clear Politics is kind of a right-leaning polling aggregation site. And I think they're cooking the books on the Pennsylvania polls. So I think Harris is in better shape in Pennsylvania than most people believe. And if I got to include Silver in that, I would. But I didn't even know there was a difference between Silver and 538. I've been watching 538.
I've always followed 538. And then reading Silver's discussion of the ideology behind the two models, I've been following him. Well, I've always appreciated Silver's approach, so I just kind of followed him over. It's a modest fee to be able to follow the Silver Bulletin, but I think it's worth it during this election season. Right now, as of today, as we're recording this, Pennsylvania, Silver is putting it plus 0.6 for the Democrats. So really close. We're well within the margin of error there. Georgia, plus one for the Republicans, again, within the margin of error. North Carolina, 1.1. Arizona, 1.8. Florida, 5.2. Those are the closest.
I don't see Florida being close in the end, but all those others.
No, and five is outside the margin of error, so assuming the polling is accurate. Going the opposite direction for the Democrats, Nevada, Silver is saying it's 0.7 in favor of the Democrats. Wisconsin 0.7, Michigan 0.9, Minnesota 5.7. So it seems like everyone says, I mean, it's hard to really step out of the line on this. Pennsylvania is going to be the determining state, because if it goes one way, it's hard to imagine the others going a different way. But you know, I don't know that it's completely out of the question that Trump wins part of the blue wall again. But the real question is, how much has our electorate changed and how much have the parties changed? Because if you listen to this whole campaign, Trump is not running a Republican campaign of even 10 years ago or 15 years ago. He's running it might as well be an entirely different party on pretty much everything it's running on. Democrats, I'd say, have more doubled down on things than really changed, but it is a different dynamic. And you see that, for example, in the movement of labor towards Trump and Trump's allies. So I don't know. I'm with you. I can't really make a prediction right now. But I think I'm going to go with silver, that it statistically, not just because it's complex, but statistically, it may be a genuine tie right now. And it's really going to depend on how these next few weeks play out.
Yeah, it'll be exciting. I mean, nothing is ever boring in the United States of America, so.
Oh, how I long to bring hope to the masses, but I am blind to the need right in front of me. Help me remember life rose from the ashes. Open my eyes to see clearly.
Well, comrade, we did want to talk about something to do with what you just said. Before we make a full shift, though, I also want to just mention, if some of our listeners, I think the people that listen to us probably appreciate people who are trying to do the best job they can of telling it how it really is with what's going on politically rather than being cheerleaders. And that's something I like about Silver. He's a Democrat, but he's clear that what he's trying to do is describe what's really happening. He wants to get this right, not simply make it sound good for his team. And I wrote a few weeks ago, I'll just mention this briefly and throw it into the show notes. I wrote on News Nation, and have you checked out News Nation, comrade?
I'm vaguely aware of them. I haven't really, I don't have cable right now, so I haven't really been able to do that.
I'm going to say, if anyone does have access to it, it's the old WGN. It's now News Nation. Check it out. It's been refreshing this political cycle, getting out of the really partisan mold of CNN, Fox News, MSNBC, and so on. Not to mention the more auxiliary networks like Newsmax.
Yeah.
News Nation has Leland Vitter, who used to be with Fox News, Bill O'Reilly, former Fox News, of course, Chris Cuomo, who is former CNN and from hailing from a Democratic family, Dan Abrams, who's hung around all kinds of different networks over the years. But they brought together a pretty good team of, I'd say, somewhat moderate voices and also somewhat more desirous of being accurate as opposed to partisan voices. And I think they're doing a really good job. And I'd encourage people to give that a try. And if you're listening to one of your favorite networks that supports your candidates, it's a great way to get out of that bubble a little bit and hear maybe what's really going on. That isn't going to beat up your candidate more than the other candidate, that sort of thing. It's just going to actually talk about what's going on. And I think we need more of that. So I'm mentioning it anywhere I can.
And I will do a shameless plug for Steve Kornacki over at MSNBC. Because if anyone's nonpartisan over there, it would be the dork at the big board, which I love. You know, him and analyzing the states on election night is like one of my favorite things, and he's such a funny guy. So, but yeah, you know, Rachel Maddow, or Maddow, however you say it, she stirs the drink, but you know, everybody knows her ideology, and the rest of MSNBC is pretty flagrantly liberal, and Fox News, same thing. So, same thing in the other direction, I guess I should say.
Yeah. Well, you know who's at the big board at News Nation, don't you?
No idea.
But have you heard? Chris Steigerwalt.
Oh, wow. Yeah, the former director of the Fox News political desk over there.
Yeah, I think one of the best minds in that business, and someone who lost his job as part of the purge for correctly calling the 2020 election. So if you're looking for someone who could fit perfectly well into the better parts of the Fox News culture, but not the more partisan parts, News Nation's a good place to take a look at.
Well, and I would say to our listeners, I'm from the Fox News era prior to 2008, because I think that was the beginning of the end for that network. So that was a great network back then. Special Report with Brit Hume was required viewing back then. And yeah, Hannity and Combs before we lost Combs. May he rest in peace.
Ah, yes.
And I've said this on the show before, but I think Sean Hannity kind of lost it a little bit after Combs died. I think that was a close friendship, and I think that hurt him really badly. So if there are any flaws in Hannity's presentation, I think that has a big impact on how he is now. What you will hear, like if you talk to Greta Van Susteren and some other people, Sean Hannity says crazy things on his show all the time. But he is one of the secretly most generous people on the face of the earth. So if you're ever sitting there, you're a little bit moderate or even left of center, and Hannity's going to make you furious, just remember, behind the scenes when no one's looking, he does good things.
We went for each other like a bullet from a gun, faster than the sheriff's drawing, hotter than the sun. Didn't see it coming lately, I've been on the run. You know you've seen my face before, so let me tell you something. Darling, you fell in love with the famous man. Seen my pictures posted everywhere across the land. And if you run with me, you got to understand that you're holding on to a dangerous hand. If I want it, would you still want me?
That was a weird defense of Sean Hannity, but there I am.
I think that was good. And a very charitable, even, shall I say, Christian defense, which brings us to the second part of our political segment, Comrade. Christian obligation. What you mentioned that you were going to abstain from voting this election. And I think it's interesting as we think as Christians, how do we fit into this current political atmosphere? Because we've both commented on some of the challenges of being a Christian and supporting either party in this moment. There's plenty where we can say that both parties diverge from Scripture. And some of that's sort of subtle. Some of it, even a lot of it, has become much bolder in recent times for both parties. And so maybe you'd like to talk us through a little bit where you are on that and maybe where we can, how we can think about that.
I'm going to go from talking about specific issues and then talk just more generally of where I think ideology is leading Christians astray. So let's start off the top with the big, big issue, and it's still the primary motivating issue for me, and that's abortion. We know that the Democratic Party has been pro-abortion since at least the mid-70s, although it took a lot longer for them to purge all the pro-life members from their party, and that was a sad event, culminating in Governor Bob Casey Sr. not being invited to speak at the 92 Democratic National Convention. That's still a big issue, and then there's sexuality related issues, you know, related to that, whether talking about transgenderism and so-called gay rights, to just confusion about what the family is, what the sexes are, and, you know, where we come at it is God made them male and female, you know, so we can have compassion for people that are struggling, but adopting this ideology and that the parts of the family are interchangeable is dangerous and unhelpful and ultimately counterproductive for those impacted by confusion and struggle. So those are some really big things with the Democratic Party, given those social issues and things like that. But also, more generally on the right, let's say, and this goes beyond President Trump, you're seeing drifting toward this aggressive, hyper-masculine paganism, sort of this denigration of compassion, tenderness, mercy for the vulnerable. You're seeing all kinds of things that, you know, there's even people saying that, like, the Lord Jesus is a weakling and Christianity never helped us. And, you know, so you're seeing some really toxic stuff on the right, aside from the, you know, the bigotry, the xenophobia, you know, some of those things that showed up in the life of David French and his wife, you know, people doing horrible things to the Frenches. And those are of a concern because our Lord is Jesus. And if anybody knew how to, if anybody knows how to bring together authentic masculinity and tenderness and compassion and soft-heartedness and advocating for the vulnerable and all kinds of things, it's Jesus. And this other stuff that, you know, compassion is for the weak, that's, you know, that's some really extreme Ayn Rand type of stuff. And that has nothing to do with the gospel. So I am concerned about kind of those directions the right's going in. We remain concerned about the social issues. You and I both wish that the Democratic Party was more normal on a lot of those things. But the Republican Party is dipping its toes right now in a lot of dangerous things. And people are just kind of swallowing it uncritically. And we're not here to tell anybody how to vote. We've said that over and over again. But remember who your Lord is. And Jesus is king. And none of these other people are king. And they never will be. Yes. So we got to...
Amen.
We got to stand up for the truth and proclaim the truth, no matter who it offends. And that's going to offend everybody on all sides eventually. And be okay with that. And that doesn't mean that we're wishy-washy. Neither one of us is wishy-washy on any of those things that we talked about. All joking about my political views aside.
Yeah, well, you know, I mean, with your political views, I have to.
Just drag me off to the gulag then.
Yeah, we'll talk to Comrade Joseph about that. But you raise, in all seriousness, I think, really good points. And maybe the thing for me, and you're exactly right, we're not trying to tell anyone how to vote. The thing for me, I think, is if we can take a step back from Christians and do exactly what you said, which is to remember who our Lord is. And whomever we vote for, our hope isn't based on our guy or gal winning. Our hope isn't based on our party winning. Our hope is based on Jesus. And to the extent that we engage in the political process, my prayer is we're engaging in the political process, realizing it's a dirty, fallen, broken, sinful system with a bunch of fallen human beings in it. And we're trying to do the best we can with what we have, but we are not actually staking our hope in it. Because one thing I can say is that come January, hopefully we have an uncontested situation and we just have the next president of the United States. But even if that's the case and it goes really smoothly, that president is going to bring a lot of sin and a lot of fallen ideas into the White House, period. There is no way around it. And if our hope is staked on that person making everything the way it should be, bringing in the right freedom or making the country great or whatever, you know, whatever campaign slogan we want to toss around, it isn't going to happen. It reminds me of a verse I know you and I have gone to numerous times, comrade, in talking about politics, or passage, Romans 13. And I think about what it is that Scripture again and again and again calls us to. And it calls us to be subject to the governing authorities. Peter later calls us to pray for the emperor. You know, there's a call to show honor and care and respect for God, placing these people in power. But it never ever says, and view them as the bearer of the gospel. View them as the hope for everything that we're doing. It never says anything like that. And it's very clear why, because there's only one king that we actually hope in.
That's right. And the thing is, we kind of torched our Bible segment here, but let's focus in. This was the same emperor that was murdering Christians at the time. And St. Paul says, show honor to the governing authority. Are you kidding? In a democratic republic, we're doing a really bad job all around of showing honor to the governing authorities, given the fact we are not ourselves as Christians being murdered right now by anyone. And we can't even show honor to these people. So we got some work to do on all sides to enact Romans 13 in our own lives. The thing is, I'm in a place where I can see either one of our two presidential candidates or our vice presidential candidates on TV, and I can honestly say I do not get angry when I see any one of them, because I'm in a place where I got to worry about the things that I got to worry about, and what's going on in Washington just doesn't rank up there with all the things I got to worry about and pray about and focus on. I just don't have time to be angry at politicians. You know, that's the other thing.
Yes.
So
yeah,
if we're doing a bad job showing honor in this context, we're under some serious illusions if we think that absent a mighty grace that we could show honor in the first century under the empire. It would take a mighty grace, because I'm telling you, I don't know a lot of people that could stand up to that. Paul was writing the book of Romans to people that were watching their friends and family get dragged out and murdered by the governing authorities. And then he still says this in Romans 13. So, what are we doing?
It's a great question. Just to close this segment for now, and maybe we should come back after the election and even talk about this more, but did you get to catch the vice presidential debate?
I didn't see it.
Comrade, you should go back and watch it. And I say that for a different reason than I've said about debates in recent times, because a lot of times I feel like recent debates, we're watching a food fight. And it's totally useless. It's totally denigrating to both candidates. And it does nothing to actually get anything done. And the vice presidential debate, I have to go back a long way to think of a debate where I'd say it was as good as that debate. And Walz and Vance, they're both deeply flawed individuals, deeply flawed candidates. There's a lot to be said on that. But I appreciate the fact that, yeah, they had their normal barbs, but there was a lot of humanity, and there was opportunities where they actually showed care and concern for each other as they were discussing some of the issues and the personal implications of them. And as much as probably anything I've seen in this campaign or recent campaigns, it was actually a opportunity, I thought, to be a little encouraged as a citizen that we haven't completely lost the humanity that should be in our political discourse. It's way below the surface. I don't expect to even see it again in this race, but I have to say that debate I really appreciate it.
I did hear about that, but I have not been witness to it. You know, the teacher life, I've been doing teacher stuff, and I just didn't even, I was like, all right, I got some other things to worry about. You boys handle this yourselves. But yeah. I did hear that.
Caitlin Clark was probably playing that night.
What's that?
I said Caitlin Clark was probably playing
that night.
She probably
was playing that night, and that is of infinitely more concern to me than a vice presidential debate. Did I say that out loud on the air? Wow, okay.
You did indeed. And while we're on the air, let me just mention our second sponsor. We are coming up to the beginning of the winter season. I know no one wants to think about it yet, but our second sponsor today is FaithTree.com Weather Desk. And you can go to FaithTree.com/weather for free anytime, day or night, and get an extended forecast, radar imagery, and a scripture that relates to the weather. And you can do it without being tracked, without a bunch of annoying ads. Just go get the weather, learn what's going on, and then be able to go about whatever you might be doing this fall and into the winter. So check it out, faithtree.com/weather. That's all the time we have for the first part of our mega episode of Zippy the Wonder Snail. This is episode 46. Second part will be episode 47, which we will have up in the near future. Comrade, as always, great to be with you. And let me just remind you, if you want to make sure to catch that second part and hopefully many episodes to come, do subscribe on your favorite podcasting app, be that Spotify, Apple Podcasts, wherever you like to get your podcasts. Make sure to join us and don't miss an episode of Zippy the Wonder Snail. You can also check out past episodes at snail.zip. That's snail.zip. Can't wait to share another episode with you in the very near future. As always, comrade, great to get to share this time with you. And we will be back zipping through the news and culture that matter.